Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, the gaming capital of the world, it's episode 18 of Game On with Cody and John.
Hi everybody, Harry Carey here!
On this special episode of Game On,
Play Ball!
We'll talk about the national pastime of baseball.
And how you can bring it to your gaming table.
All this and much more on Game On with Cody and John.
Well, howdy gamers, it is Game On with Cody and John, except no substitutes. I'm Cody.
And I'm John. Welcome to the Uncommon Podcast for the Common Gamer. We're a podcast about tabletop games of all kinds, board games, card games, role-playing games, and baseball.
Uh-oh.
This is a special episode of Game On where we're going to be talking about all kinds of board and card games that they've made that help to simulate the great game of baseball. Cody and I are both big baseball fans, and the season is well underway at this point. And how are your Cincinnati Reds doing?
Right now they're losing 2-1 to the hated Chicago Cubs.
But, we're getting real-time updates from Cody's iPhone.
Well, real to me, not real to you, the listeners. But we'll pull this one out and defeat the bad guys from the north side. The
Texas Rangers currently 2.5 games back of the Seattle Mariners. So Cody and I, in addition to being gamers, are huge fans of the game of baseball. And we both kind of grew up watching baseball, and I have a big baseball card collection from like the 80s that I'm hoping will one day pay for my kids' college.
Nope.
Not likely. Yep. And so we just want to talk today about some games that have been produced in the hobby gaming industry that helped to simulate this great game.
And we're even going to feature a few of those games, ranging from very light to very heavy simulations in order to find what you might want to play if you're a baseball fan and want to get a little baseball fix at the gaming table.
Yeah, we might talk about some of the difficulties in creating a baseball board or card game, because it's a very different sort of a game.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you listeners that are maybe not listening in the United States and aren't familiar with the game of baseball, we're not really going to go into a detailed explanation of all the rules of baseball, but we'll try to give a general overview as we're doing some of our reviews later so that you'll get a little bit of an idea there. We might even link in the show notes a little general rules explanation for you so that you can...
hit it where they ain't.
That's the main rule, right?
Yep.
Very good. Well, as always, our episode is going to start off with the Game On inbox, and that starts right
now.
It's time for the Game On inbox. Here you'll find gaming news, information, discussion, as well as feedback from you, the listener. Send questions, comments, and brilliant ideas to gameoninbox@gmail.com. That's gameoninbox@gmail.com. Let's double click on our inbox and see what we find.
Well, it's the Game On inbox, and before we get into our usual inbox fare, we have a special announcement.
Very special announcement.
Very special.
Very
Game
exciting.
On with Cody and John, or Game On, just to you casual listeners out there.
You only really need to say Game On because there's really only one Game On
exactly.
For your Game On needs.
We have joined the Pulp Gamer Media Network.
That's right.
And you can check out their website at pulpgamer.com, and we'll link to it in the show notes.
And, you know, in addition to linking to it in the show notes, Cody, I don't even need to link it to it in the show notes, because we have, if you go to gameonpodcast.com on the right side, you just see the game, the Pulp Gamer icon, and the pictures of three very dashing gentlemen in hats. Just click on that icon. It'll take you straight to pulpgamer.com. Now, we're really excited about being a part of this network, because it is a whole collection of other podcasts that do exactly what we do, with a little bit of different flavor, but great podcasts that are talking about board games, card games, role-playing games, just gaming in general. And so it includes such great shows as Fear the Boot.
A
personal favorite of Cody's, and as well as mine. And also the D6 Generation. And also there's a lot of podcasts produced by Pulp Gamer itself. And one of those podcasts that is a great one is called Out of Character. And so as just being a part of the network here, we want to give love to the other podcasts in the network.
Absolutely.
So check this out and learn a little bit more about Out of Character.
Hello, I'm Don Dem.
I'm Derek Rex.
And I'm Jeremiah Lynch.
Every once in a while, we like to let down our hair and go out of character to talk to you, respond to your feedback, and talk about some things we're finding notable about our world.
The world we live in is one of board games, card games, and role-playing games.
We produce several podcasts on such topics, but this is the one that allows us to get open up and freestyle a little bit.
It gets a little crazy sometimes, but we mostly stay on topic.
Come join us at PulpGamer.com. That's PulpGamer.com. And look for the Out of Character podcast.
Don't forget your dice.
PulpGamer.com.
So be sure to check out Out of Character on the Pulp Gamer Network, as well as all the other great shows. So after you finish listening to this, or maybe while you're listening, go check out PulpGamer.com.
All right, enough shilling. Let's get to
it. Yeah, okay. I'm not used to that, you know.
I know.
But it's good to be affiliated with another group of great podcasters.
Great shows.
All right, so anyway, we're going to kick back into our normal flow of the Game On Inbox and talk about some games we've been playing. And Cody, why don't you tell us about maybe a little epic battle that you and I engaged in recently.
Indeed, we got together for play some games, and we kind of stumbled into playing HeroScape. It's one of those, we both like playing it, but we're lazy gamers, so it takes a little bit to set up, and we're just kind of like, yeah.
It's kind of a hard one to stumble into because there's so much setup time.
I forget how much I love that game, just because when we got playing it, 5 or 10 minutes into it, it's just... I was having a blast. We were rolling dice. It was just an Ameritrash joyous day. And I'm hooked. Now I want to play HeroScape about every other night. I'm like, all right, let's play.
It is great because of the fact that it's got all the quality miniatures, a great theme, but it's just simple to play. I mean, I can play this one with my 6-year-old son. And it's just
you can
a lot
play
of
it with me.
I can on a slightly up the scale there. I can play with you only slightly. Just kidding. It's a great introductory miniatures game. I've been listening to some podcasts that are about these more complicated miniatures games like Warhammer 40K and things of that nature. I've never really gotten involved in games like that, and I'm not sure if I'll ever have the time or the money or the gumption, if you will, to actually get involved in that. But HeroScape's a great game. And how did that game end?
There was a victory by you with the 10th Regiment of Foot.
That's right.
Defeating Sergeant Drake Alexander in a standoff by the river.
You know, and I think if you check out our guild, we're going to upload the picture of the the final standoff of Drake Alexander's last stand against the Regiment of Foot there. So a lot of fun with that.
Now, playing all this HeroScape kind of got you in an escaping mood, and what was the outlet that you chose to use there?
Well, it is funny, like you said, you know, if you don't play it for a while, you know, you don't really think about how much fun it is, and once you finally get it out and set up, oh my gosh, this is a really fun game. And so, shortly thereafter, the next day, I think, actually, was the beginning of Gen Con event registration. And so, with HeroScape fresh in my mind, I went
ahead. The annual cluster that is Gen Con registration.
That's true. And this year was probably no different from any previous years. They did have a new registration system, but in kind of lurking on the Gen Con community forums, I think a lot of folks were still having trouble with the servers locking up. But, I mean, you've got thousands upon thousands of people trying to get just a few spots in certain games.
I don't think there's a magic bullet to how to do that. I mean, it's just supply and demand, you know?
It's really annoying to me on the forums especially, is that every single year when Gen Con registration happens, you automatically get 3 or 4 threads with people who are IT professionals who are like, well, boy, if they had just asked me, I could have fixed the whole system. Why don't they do load testing? Why don't they get some more servers? It's like, shut up. Just shut up, okay? Yeah,
I'm sure they've tried that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it just irritates me after a while, but it seemed like the system is pretty user friendly, and I was able to get most of the games that I wanted to get into for Gen Con. I'm going to try out a couple of new things. I'm going to play in my first game of Paranoia, which I hear is a pretty fun role playing game. And I actually, when I registered for that game, there's a setting where you can have Gen Con send the players in the game a message. And it actually sent me a message saying something like, automated messages received from game conventions are treasonous, and if you receive such a message, please report to Alpha Complex at this time. Thank you, the computer. So I'm looking forward to playing in that game. But yeah, also got involved going back to HeroScape. signed up for a Heroescape tournament called Lightweight, where we you build a 350 point army, and which is a little bit less than a normal sized army, and looks like it's going to be a pretty full tournament. So
we're going to have to spar to keep you to get you in shape for the big fight.
I know I'm not one to usually build my own armies for things, because it's like if I play in a Magic tournament, I'm probably going to play in a sealed deck tournament or something like that, but. This one, I've got a lot of figures in my possession that I can choose from, and so Cody's going to help me and get me all. He's going to be, you know, kind of my
yeah, bum rock.
That's right. He's going to be my Mickey. Was that his name, Mickey? Polly?
Yeah,
Mickey.
It's Mickey.
I don't know.
Would you watch the movies?
Well,
Polly was the drunk cousin.
I haven't watched the movies in a long time.
Oh my god.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Anyway. I guess he wasn't his cousin.
Was it?
It was Adrian's brother was Polly, so I guess his drunk brother-in-law.
That movie came out the year that I was born.
The movie came out before I was born.
All right, moving on.
Just saying. I signed up for some Gen Con events. I'm going role-playing heavy because, slide aside, Origins, I'm planning to just go all out on board games. We're going to get the boardroom ribbons. And, hey, if you're going to be at Origins, this is a perfect time to shoot us an email at the Game On Inbox.
At gameoninbox@gmail.com.
And if you're going to be there, we would love to play any sort of game that doesn't end with Asan on it.
of the Kark variety.
Of the Kark variety. We'll play anything. I will beat you at Fury of Dracula if you'd like. It'll be a great time. So
yeah, we'll try to have some like polo shirts or some t-shirts, something that's make us easily
identify. The Game On Tuxedo. Hello.
Right. And so you should be able to spot us pretty easily in the boardroom. But we'll be around, so feel free to come up to us and let's play some games together.
Sure. But as far as Gen Con goes, I signed up, so like I said, mostly a role-playing game heavy. I'm doing a Hollow Earth Expedition game called Bert Fedora and the Battle Maidens of Mars.
Wow.
Or I believe it's War Maidens of Mars.
War Maidens of Mars, I think is what it said.
Some sort of hostile maiden from Mars.
Now, that's a heck. Hollow Earth Expedition has kind of branched off into this sort of space idea, right?
Yeah, their next source book is I believe called like Mysteries of Mars, and they're going kind of in that Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon type of space pulp.
How do you feel about that?
It seems kind of like they're really breaking from what they've been doing, but it could work. It's like I tend to like the Hollow Earth books more for the setting, as I'm more of a Savage Worlds guy when it comes to the crunchy mechanics. But the Hollow Earth books always have really good fluff and kind of just setting material, so
yeah.
I'll probably pick it up still.
And I played in a game that was run by Jeff Combos, the creator of Hollow Earth Expedition, last year, and it was using some of the new material out of the Mysteries of the Hollow Earth source book, and it was kind of weird for me because I was used to the idea of Hex being kind of swashbuckling, but
two-fisted pulp action.
Two-fisted pulp action, Indiana Jones kind of a thing, and then I found myself playing, I was playing like an ape, like a And then they had like a some kind of winged guy and some kind of Amazon person.
Yeah,
it was these very exotic characters.
I think that book is more for playing native denizens of the Hollow Earth.
Oh, yeah.
So if you wanted to go that route.
It was kind of hard to figure out why we were all together as a group.
Oh, yeah. The inherent problem. But I'm going to try some other things. I'm trying the Pathfinder RPG, which is a new take on the D&D 3rd edition rules. I'm trying the Alpha Omega role-playing game, and the only reason I'm trying it is because the book is beautiful.
Oh, it's a good-looking book. Huh?
It's a great-looking book, so hey, the system might be decent, but probably not.
Awesome. Well,
we'll give it a whirl.
In addition to the Heroescape, and I'm actually playing in a Hollow Earth Expedition game myself, a different one from Cody, and I'm in Paranoia as well. The other event that I signed up for is the board game Cosmic Encounter, which is a classic board game that many remakes have been made of. I just got a copy of it in just the last few weeks. I have not played it yet. I've never played it.
Shock.
Yeah, the list grows. But this is going to be an event of playing Cosmic Encounter with the designer, Kevin Wilson.
Close personal friend.
Well, we hope to move in that direction. So, you know, Kevin was in charge of the remake of Cosmic Encounter for Fantasy Flight Games. And so, you know, I can't make any promises, but I am going to see if possibly after the event's over, if I might be able to catch him for a few minutes.
He's a heck of a nice guy.
He is, yeah. So
yeah,
we
played in the Descent game with him a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
It was totally fun.
He destroyed us.
Yeah.
It was rough.
And never had so much fun getting destroyed by
absolutely.
The Overlord there. But he also had his computer with him at that time showing us stuff from the Road to Legend expansion that hadn't even been released yet. So that was totally worth the price of admission. Yeah. So we're really looking forward to a great Gen Con. We've got our event signed up for. Now, one thing that we haven't gotten yet is...
True Dungeon.
Yeah, you know, we spent all of last episode talking about True Realm and True Dungeon and went in to get our tickets. And
they go fast.
They go a bit fast.
But
yeah.
Usually we've had a lot of luck, but nothing yet.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So, you know...
This may break my streak.
We may just go and, you know, hang around the True Dungeon tavern and just look sad, you know. but
give you a token.
But if we aren't able to make a True Dungeon run this year, at least we have the great opportunity to check out True
Realm.
We'll
get it next year.
Yeah, so I hope to see you guys at Gen Con, too. We're real excited about convention season is on the way, so exciting. We've got a couple pieces of news in the Game On Inbox for this episode. Just a couple of game release pieces of information. Now, one thing... that will happen you know, by the time this episode drops is that the game Small World by Days of Wonder Games that we've mentioned a little bit on the show is going to be released, I think, on the 22nd of April.
Ooh.
And so that's...
Going to have to pick that one up.
Yeah, well, the 22nd of April is... Well, yeah, by the time this show is released, it will be after the 22nd of April. So,
right.
So go pick up Small World. there's a great...
We're from the past.
Speaking of other podcasters, Scott Nicholson from Board Games with Scott, he did a really great video review of Small World that just got released about a week ago. So I'd encourage you to check
that out. That's
yeah, fun. Check out BoardGamesWithScott.com. Okay, so as far as new game news... coming in the third quarter of 2009, if you're a fan of the game Descent, designed by Kevin Wilson, then they are releasing what's called the Descent Quest Compendium, coming out in like June or so. So this is going to be, I'm not sure if it's going to include the quests from the original rule books, it may, but it's definitely going to include some new quests that have been designed by some pretty formidable names in the gaming industry, such as Monty Cook, and also Keith Baker, who is the designer
Eberron,
of the Eberron.
He may be staying at my house as part of his Whirlwind DMing tour.
Oh, really?
I'm working it out with him.
Okay, that would be awesome.
It might be a stop. We'll see.
And also Mike Selinker, who is a designer of quite a few games, and John Kovalik, who is from the Dork Tower, and he does like all of the artwork for Munchkin.
He's doing he did a dungeon?
He did, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That'll be funny.
Yeah, and according to Fantasy Flight's website, it says John Kovalik from the Dork Tower takes you back to an old haunt on an unexpected mission on behalf of a former enemy, featuring some of John Kovalik's trademark wit and commentary.
Nice.
So that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to include... 16 quests in a 96-page hardbound volume.
Mm.
And so if you're a fan of Descent and you have the base game and all the expansions or just the base game, I would recommend picking this one up. And so you know, check that out. You can go to the Fantasy Flight Games website to get more information on that. So that should be coming in the summer. And then we also have another expansion for the game, Kingsburg.
Ooh.
Cody and I are big fans of Kingsburg. You
Absolutely.
Can check that out on a previous episode of our show.
Undefeated at Kingsburg still.
We got to change that.
Come on, come all at Origins.
Oh, yeah, maybe we won't even need to bring a copy. We can. I'm sure they have it in the boardroom.
Exactly.
But this very award-winning, very highly sought-after game is now going to be adding an expansion this summer called To Forge a Realm. So this is going to include... they say 5 new game-altering modules that will add both depth and strategy to the experience of the Kingsburg core game.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it sounds Euro. They're better. Well, along with a lot of more dice.
Despite what you think, Kingsburg's pretty Euro, isn't it? Would you say?
I still think it's a pretty good hybrid.
But... It is a pretty good hybrid, yeah. So this will the different modules in the expansion will allow you to add more buildings to your town with a larger province sheet. New buildings will include things like the training camp, the military academy, the mint, the goldsmith, things like that. You can also customize your town with the choice of new buildings to replace the ones from the core game, and you can alter your strategy based upon the new opportunities presented. One other thing that's real interesting are these things called destiny cards, which will add new bonuses and challenges through events that periodically enter the game. So you already have the different phases of the game and different things that happen, but now they're going to add these destiny cards into the mix, which are going to be kind of events that will go on that might make that more interesting.
Hmm.
And then you also have what are called governor cards, which will let players take on new roles with special abilities that you can use over the course of the game. So these different governors will have names like the minstrel, the fairy, and the thief, and some others as well. So it even is going to include a blank card for you to create your own governor card.
Yeah.
So it looks like there's a lot of stuff going on in that one. I think it's going to be a pretty big box expansion.
Sounds like it.
I think it might retail for about $40 from what I was reading. So
steep.
But the artwork on the box looks pretty cool. So, Cody, you'll like
okay.
that.
I'm not. It's like I'm a child. It's got pretty artwork.
you're an artist by trade. Though,
jump in
sense.
There.
So those are two games that the book there and the expansion are two things that I'm really looking forward to in the summer. And it's about time. Because I just sort of feel like the last few months there really hasn't been a whole lot of interesting stuff being released. So
there is a bit of breaking news. The Reds just tied the game.
Oh my goodness, 2-2 is
2-2. Yes.
Okay.
And back to game on.
All right.
And we've also received some emails from listeners. One we got from a Chris Newton. He is the creator of the Eye of the Vortex. It is a web magazine that focuses on all sorts of gaming reviews, things of that nature. You can check that out at eyeofthevortexonline.com. We will link to it in the show notes, and by we, I mean John will link to it in the show notes. And,
of course I will.
And I will harvest the fruit of his labors. Featured in the April issue is a review of Hunter the Vigil by White Wolf. It's an RPG, as well as Monsterpocalypse.
Yeah, the that great kind of tabletop collectible miniatures game from Privateer Press.
But my favorite thing about that is it has the building minis. That's
cool.
Oh,
yeah. That's
cool.
Pretty cool.
But anyway, go check out Eye of the Vortex and get caught up on your gaming news that way.
Yeah, you can check that out on both a PDF download, and then you can also, they have an applet where you can view it online. So lots of different kinds of game information there. They got lots of writers, so go check it out.
Absolutely.
So we also received a really nice email in the Game All in Inbox from Magnus Lundgren. Our avid listener from
isn't that a great name?
It is.
I was named Magnus.
I know, seriously.
It's like people wouldn't screw with you if your name was Magnus.
Your first son should be named Magnus.
Game on with Magnus and John. Yeah. You will listen,
or else. Anyway, Magnus is from Sweden, and a few episodes ago we talked about the game Space Alert. Not in great detail because we haven't had a chance to play it yet, because you really can't get a copy in the United States at this point. But I hear that the English version is... You doing okay over there?
All right.
Just kind of bumped the mic there. But anyway, so that game hasn't really arrived here in the United States yet, but available in Europe. And Magnus talked to us, sent us an email a few episodes ago telling us that he was planning on going to a Space Alert a convention event. And so he emailed us to tell us how it went, so I'll just go ahead and read here. Hi, Cody and John. Hello there. Since I emailed you about our upcoming Space Alert tournament some weeks ago, I thought I'd give you an update now when it's over. We ran it yesterday at the local gaming convention, which is called GothCon, annual since 1976. Currently about 1,200 visitors each year. Kind of cool. We had four teams of five players, all playing in the same room at the same time.
Ah, that'd be hectic.
They played three training games as recommended by the rules, a test run, a simulation, and an advanced simulation. Then they played one real mission, which was the actual tournament. For this, we sorted the cards and damage tokens so that all the teams got almost identical setups. One team survived the mission and was declared the winner. We used a 5.1 surround system in mono mode with one speaker placed on each gaming table and one extra in the center of the room.
Hmm.
We didn't bring the subwoofer, he says.
Space alert!
He says it worked better than we thought. We had some concerns that one loud team might ruin it for the others, but that was never even close to being an issue. All in all, it worked out very well. There were lots of rules, explanations, obviously, but the training divided into three parts. No one seemed to mind. Afterwards, there were plenty of happy faces and spontaneous thanks. Guess the only downside was that we couldn't handle more than 20 of the over 30 people who were interested in playing.
Oh, wow.
So, Magnus, thanks so much for sending us that email about that. That sounds really interesting.
When are we going to get the invite to go overseas and do it?
I don't know. You know, game on from Sweden. That would be pretty cool. But, yeah, we're really excited about this game. So, you know, if any of you listeners want to send us a copy of the game, we will receive it. But yeah, so anyway, so thanks, Magnus, for listening and for sending us that update on that Space Alert tournament.
All right, well, I think that wraps up this this episode. This
Are we done?
We're done.
Let's get out of here.
This wraps up the Game On Inbox for this episode. We have to get on deck for the big special about baseball.
That's right. Let's do it.
Take me out to the ball game.
swing, bada bada swing, bada bada swing. Swing, bada bada swing, bada bada swing, bada bada swing, yeah.
Well, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the great national pastime of baseball.
We have our scorecards ready.
That's right. Cody and I, in addition to being common gamers, are also pretty big sports fans of both baseball, football, and not so much basketball for me.
College basketball. It's because you're not a native Hoosier.
That's probably the reason, yeah. But not so much hockey for me.
No.
But anyway, we both have kind of grown up on baseball. I kind of grew up with my father and my grandfather. My grandfather especially was a huge baseball fan, big fan of the Yankees for many, many years.
Unfortunate.
I lived on the East Coast, you know. And then later in his later years became a fan of the Baltimore Orioles because he could get them on local TV.
That's a step down.
Yeah, so he got to follow Ripken there. But so they sort of instilled in me a love for the game. And so I've known the rules to baseball I don't even remember learning them. I've just known them pretty much my whole life. Has that been kind of the case for you? What's your baseball street cred?
Growing up, I grew up in Indianapolis, and we lived very close to Busch Stadium. Now, this isn't the St. Louis Busch Stadium. It was just kind of a rundown, kind of old baseball stadium here in Indianapolis, where the AAA baseball team, the Indianapolis Indians, would play, and we'd go 2 or 3 times a week because, I mean, it was cheap. It was really close. We just went all the time to Indians games. I have the basement at my folks' house is just full of Indians giveaways and old bats and stuff.
Yeah,
so I've watched Indians games growing up, and John and I, we go to quite a bit of Indians games now in a much nicer ballpark downtown. But
and we sit in a very specific section.
That's right. So we can happily heckle the opposing team, and we're nice about it.
Yeah, no, we're not jerks about it or anything, but yeah. We do like to have fun and sort of, if we can turn around, and if the player will turn around and give us a reaction, like a laugh, or, you know, yeah, we'll think that was something we said.
We've had
funny.
A lot of nice people. We've had serious players. Yeah. But no, it's just, I love baseball. Big Cincinnati Reds fan. I grew up watching the Reds. One of my earliest memories was watching the Reds in the 1990 World Series, which we won. I've always been a big fan.
That's similar for me because I was a huge New York Mets fan because I grew up in sort of the Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Virginia area. And the team that was the AAA team there was the, at that time, called the Tidewater Tides, now the Norfolk Tides. And they were the AAA affiliate for the New York Mets. And so I became just kind of a huge Mets fan because a lot of those players that I was used to seeing would then go up into the major leagues. And so my big moment was when I was 10 years old, the Mets winning the 1986 World Series, mm-hmm, with great players like
Frank Viola.
No, Viola wasn't on that team. Yeah, but no, like Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry.
There's a lineup.
Those kind of folks. Well,
10 to 20.
This is prior to their post playing drug troubles.
When was Frank Viola?
He was later in the 80s and the early 90s. Yeah, that was after he played for Minnesota for quite a number of years.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, well, this is really exciting. So we're fans of baseball. And so in wanting to do this episode, we wanted to look at what are some things in the hobby gaming industry that have paid homage to baseball. What are some games that have been made about this sport? And when you're talking about making a baseball game, there's a few sort of specific challenges that you're dealing with. The rules of the game of baseball are, I guess, a little strange to an outsider who hasn't grown up on it. And so translating those into some sort of a meaningful board game is a little bit difficult. I think anything where you are talking about athletic ability, it's really difficult to create a game about that.
Right. And baseball is kind of unique in the fact that it has a lot of nuances that other sports may not have. And actually, a lot of people don't like baseball because they say, oh, it's too boring, it moves too slow.
Yeah.
But if you really watch it and really know what's going on with all these little kind of subtleties, it's pretty amazing. And it's hard to really translate some of those to a board or card game, you know, because it's like, do you do it pitch by pitch? Do you do it hit by hit? Do you do it inning by inning? I mean, how detailed do you want to get? Because you can get pretty detailed when it comes to baseball.
And I think one of the things that you'll find with really diehard baseball fans is that they tend to really like statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more than other sports, player statistics is sort of an art or a love unto itself. That when you hear someone talking about baseball, they're going to be talking specifically about how many RBIs someone had or what their on-base percentage is or slugging percentage. I mean, they've created whole new math equations just to create statistics for baseball players. I had the great opportunity a few years ago to go to Cooperstown, New York, which is where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. And when you read those plaques of those players, I mean, it's all about statistics. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about those numbers. So I think that works in favor of those game designers who want to make a baseball game because they can go crazy with the math and make things that are statistically driven. So having said all that, we sat down over the last couple of weeks and we played four baseball-themed games. And so we're going to just go through them one after the other. And for those of you who are interested in baseball, hopefully we'll give you some good information here to be able to make a purchase of a baseball game, whether it be a real light one or a real, real heavy one. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of run the gambit here.
And if you're not interested in baseball, now's a great time to get interested.
That's right. And, just like any other thing in the gaming hobby, you know, just give something a try and you just might find that you like it. So we're going to start off kind of light. And the first game we're going to be talking about is called Harry's Grand Slam Baseball.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. I knew we weren't going to get through the episode without Cody's impersonation of Will Ferrell's impersonation of Harry Carey.
Which Cubs fans hate, but I don't care.
And your fiance's whole family. Cubs fans, right?
Well, not everyone's everyone's got some flaw, you know.
Okay, well, moving on.
Cubs win. Holy cow.
So Harry's Grand Slam Baseball is produced by Out of the Box Publishing. And it is in what they call their heirloom collection. And the reason it's in that collection is because the original game was designed by Walter Obst. You know, it's not even Walter. I don't know what I was thinking. It's Harry. That's why it's called Harry's Grand Slam Baseball.
Where did you get Walter from? That's his middle name, Harry Walter Obst.
I don't know. So
strike one.
Oh my. So yeah, Harry's Grand Slam Baseball, designed by Harry Obst in 1962. And so this game was originally a real small card game, and Out of the Box Publishing in the last few years, they've released a new version of this with the original box is actually contained inside of the tin. The game comes in a tin. And it's got the original rule set and this sort of vintage-looking box. And then it's also got some additional things like a scorecard and or a scorekeeping thing and some player aids. And they've really kind of decked it out and made it really good. The components on this game are wonderful for
being a
scorecard game. So you get a lot in the box here. So when you open up the tin, you're going to get just cards. I mean, it's basically, I think there's about 54 cards, like a normal set of cards. But these cards are going to have different baseball plays on them. And so you'll have cards that are in favor of the offense. There will be hits. You might have a single, double, triple, home run, all of the things that you would see in a normal baseball game. And then you'll also have some cards that are outs, ground outs, strikeouts, fly outs, and things like that. There's also going to be some cards with base running things like stolen bases or passed balls, wild pitches. And then you'll even have some other things like walks and errors and balks. Sacrifice bunts and balks and everything you'd find in a normal baseball game. There's probably a card representing that. Now, that would make you think that this is a really complicated game, but it's really, really simple. It's a real light little two-player game.
You can play
game.
It about 15 minutes. You can play a nine-inning game and probably about 15 minutes.
We actually played a nine-inning game right before coming up to here to report the
podcast. It's an addicting little game.
It is.
You want to play it all the time.
Yeah, so not to force our hand too quickly here, but we really do like this game.
Oh, I hated
so.
It.
You're so confusing sometimes.
Sorry.
So the way you play this game is that the game comes with a little board, a little square board that looks like a baseball diamond. And in the center is just a space where you're going to put the deck of cards. Each player gets three cards, and you'll just choose who's going to be the home player, who's going to be the visitor player. And the scoreboard is sort of this trifold thing that sits up on the table, and it's got these little dials to be able to keep track of how many runs each team has and also to keep track of what inning that you're in. And it's real nice little thing that'll sit up right on the table, easy to use. And so after you've selected who's home and who's visitor, the visitor team, just like in a normal baseball game, will come up to bat. And so they will lead off by playing a card. And the team that's batting is going to want to play a card that will get them on base in some way. So, you know, it might play a single or a double. And when you play that card, let's say a single, you're going to place it on the board or next to that base. So the board represents the base. You're going to set it right next to first base. So these cards will represent your base runners, and as they move around, they'll just move around the different sides of the board until they get home. After you play that card, then your opponent is going to be wanting to try to play out cards, like ground out or strike out. Those cards are played right at home plate, and you can sort of keep them there to keep track of how many outs are have happened in that inning. And so you'll just go back and forth playing these cards. And
sometimes playing cards you don't want to play.
Right, because you have to play a card that's in your hand. And so if all you have are outs cards, even if you're batting, you still need to play an out card. So that's kind of an interesting thing. There is a lot of luck of the draw to it in that respect. But one element that makes it a little bit interesting as far as luck of the draw goes is that they have cards called relief pitcher / pinch hitter. Mm-hmm. If you draw one of those cards, then you will immediately draw a second card and place it on the table face down without looking at it underneath your relief pitcher pinch hitter card. And that'll just sit there on the table. And when you get to a later turn, if you don't like the cards that are in your hand, then you have the choice of playing this the face down card that's underneath your relief pitcher pinch hitter card. So it's kind of like a blind draw. Instead of having to play out of your hand, you turn that one over. It might be good for you. It might be bad for you. Just like when you put a pinch hitter in, you don't know what he's going to do. So you'll play a card and then you'll draw a card on your turn. And you'll always draw back up to three. That's the game. That's the whole game. And then after the end of the third inning, you're going to shuffle up all the cards, except for any of those relief pitcher cards that are already sitting on the table.
And you'll discard your hand.
All the other cards will get shuffled up. So at the end of the third inning, and then again at the end of the sixth inning, and then you'll deal back out three cards to each player, and you'll just play to the end of nine innings. So it is a real light game. It is there's a lot of luck involved, I think, mm-hmm. in the game. But sure. Cody, what was your impression of Harry's Grand Slam Baseball?
Oh, I really liked it. It's a simple game, especially for baseball lovers. It's something you can just you got 10, 15 minutes. You just whip this one out, play it real quick. It has with its simplicity, it has a few wonky things as far as just like when maybe a sacrifice wouldn't necessarily move a runner in a real game of baseball or
right.
things like that, you know, but it's easy to overlook those kind of very, I guess, technical things. It's just
the nuance as you're talking about.
Yeah,
those things that would be in a normal baseball
right,
game.
Right, you know, that's not the kind of game Harry's is. And it's a lot of fun. Like I said, it's very addicting. Like you'll want to play a few games in a row, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I've heard of people playing, I was reading on Board Game Geek, some people playing entire, like, seven-game series.
Wow.
Of Harry's and alternating home and away, depending on, you know, like
and
the
2-3-2.
That would
take,
two.
Like, just a couple hours probably.
Oh, yeah, you know.
The deal, yeah.
But it's a great game, and it's quickly become one of my favorites.
Yeah, just as a light two-player game, it's fantastic. And I think if you don't know the game of baseball or the rules of baseball, you could probably still have fun with this. But I found that because I do love baseball, that the feel of this game was just a lot of fun. You know, moving the cards around the board like they're base runners, that just was a lot of fun. So you really sort of felt like you were playing this mini game of baseball.
Right.
But yeah, we would definitely recommend this one. So yeah, not like it's a secret, but Cody, Harry's Grand Slam Baseball, buy, try, or deny.
Buy it.
Yeah, same thing for me. Buy it. So that's two buys. Yeah, it's really easy. So that's the first game that we're going to be taking a look at, Harry's. And, you know, it happened to be two buys. But you know what? You don't have to buy it.
Look at that.
If you win our contest.
Uh-oh, we have a contest. You've made it this far,
that's
if
right.
you're a baseball fan or not, and that is to be rewarded.
Yeah, so we're going to tell you about our brand new contest for this episode. And we're going to be giving away not one, but two copies to two different lucky, well, one copy each to two lucky. I totally screwed that up.
Yeah. We have two copies total.
Two copies total. One to one listener, one to another listener.
Well done. Well done.
Of Harry's Grand Slam Baseball. And this is courtesy of Out of the Box Publishing. So thanks very much for providing
those
games. And so we're going to have two different ways that you can enter the contest.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it's going to work. Cody, why don't you tell them the first way?
Well, the first way is very simple. It's if you want to go the easy path, or what I like to call the American League path.
Very nice.
Thanks. You go there. All you have to do is go on iTunes, find Game On with Cody and John, and simply write a review. It can be positive. It can be negative.
We would prefer it to be positive.
But if you really think our show is crap, then by all means, write us a review, and then you will be entered in our contest. Just shoot us an email to the Game On Inbox. Let us know what kind of screen name you use to write the review so we can properly credit you.
Right.
And you will be entered in our drawing to win a copy of Harry's Grand Slam Baseball.
Right. And so one copy that we're giving away is going to be reserved for this part of the contest.
The American League part.
So if you are one of the folks that leave a review, then you know you're going to be in that pile of people. The other way that you can win
the National League contest.
Is what he's calling it, the National League contest.
Because pitchers should bat. I'm just saying. The okay. DH is stupid. You can quote me.
All right, whatever. And so we're going to provide you right now with a little baseball gaming trivia question. And if you can answer this question, send us the answer to the Game On Inbox at
gmail.com.
Yep. And if you have the right answer, we're going to pool all the correct answers together, and that'll be our pool to win the American League. The National League.
The National League
version.
Sir.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the trivia question. Okay. What former Major League Baseball player started his own game company?
There it is.
That's it.
That was intense.
Now, we're hoping that there aren't like a dozen Major League Baseball players who have started their own game company. As far as I know, there's just the one.
Yep.
So what former Major League Baseball player started his own game company? So just to wrap up here, as we're bantering on about baseball stuff, there's two ways to win. You can either leave a review on iTunes for Game On with Cody and John. Or you can try to answer our trivia question of which former Major League Baseball player started his own game company. And we're talking about, you know, hobby game company.
Sure. And remember, if you enter the American League contest, if you leave us the iTunes review, be sure to email us at the Game On Inbox so that we know you submitted it.
Right. And you're welcome to try for both contests there, but we're going to be giving away two copies of Harry's Grand Slam Baseball, courtesy of Out of the Box Publishing. Okay, enough of that.
Enough of that.
All right, let's move on to our second game on the baseball lineup here.
Now batting.
So the second game in our baseball extravaganza episode is Pizza Box Baseball. It is from On the Line Game Company, designed by Eric and Scott Smith, and it came out this last year in 2008. It says it's for 2 to 6 players, but
two to six.
Pretty much all these baseball games we're talking about, they're for 2 players.
Right.
I mean, if you're trying to stretch it out, go play something different. Yeah. So this game is a baseball simulation game, and it's not a real complicated game, I guess, but
a lot in the vein of Pizza Box Football,
right? And
one of
our favorite sports simulation games. So we were real excited when this game came out, and this is a lot more of a regular board game. It comes in a box that looks like a pizza box, but
there
is, hey, what do you know? But it actually just has a regular board that unfolds, and basically is really a card game with a board that's just kind of tacked on.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah,
I agree.
And so in this game, you're going to be taking turns, one player being the pitcher and one being the batter, of resolving in sort of, I guess, a rock, paper, scissors sort of mechanic, the outcome of a particular at bat. So each player is going to have a certain number of cards in their hand, the pitcher and the batter, and then they will each lay down a card. And based upon what each player laid down, you will then draw a card out of a result deck, which will then determine what happens, who goes on base, or whether the batter is out. And so, much like some of the other games that we're going to be talking about a little bit later, there is a different levels of difficulty. Now, Harry's Grand Slam Baseball that we talked about, there are no advanced rules for Harry's Grand Slam.
There is easy mode, and that is
right.
It.
But for this game, you have several levels of difficulty of how much complexity do you want to add to the game. The one thing that I guess I'll just go and kind of launch into what I thought about this game, because that's really the whole main mechanic of the game is just playing these outcomes. There are some other rules for stealing and for pitch outs and things like that of how you're going to play these cards. But the reason I'm not going to dwell on this game for too long is because I don't actually own this game anymore.
Anymore.
Well, because it just wasn't. I wasn't a real big fan. And one of the things that I thought was a little bit of a shame about the game is that when you play a batter card and a pitcher card, you're playing either like a swing card or a take the pitch card, and one's white and one's black, and then if you have a white black result, then you draw this particular card out of the deck, and it was just so random as to what the outcome was. It wasn't like there's a pitcher's deck and a batter's deck, but it's not like those cards really corresponded with good results for the batter or good results for the pitcher. It just seemed really, really random.
It seemed like, and we played a few games of this, it just seemed like the game played itself. Now, it's a little different from Harry's, which is a lighter game, but even then, even with the amount of randomness and luck in it, you still felt somewhat in control of the game, to a degree.
You could decide in that game whether you wanted, even if you were batting, you could choose to play an out card so you could hold on to a hitting card for the next inning. In this game, you have basically two options of either the white or the black card, and I just sort of felt like I wasn't doing anything. Like, it didn't really matter what I played, and
it's like I was just helping the game play itself out.
Right.
I was left just very. I remember the first time we played was at Origins. I had a really bad taste in my mouth afterwards.
The game comes with scorecards, like actual baseball scorecards for you to keep track of your game while you're playing. We even tried that, and we're like, after about 5 minutes, oh my gosh, this is painful.
And we're devoted scorers. I mean, this sounds awkward, but I taught John how to score at a baseball game.
Don't take that the wrong way. Right. He taught me the fundamentals of the scorekeeping process.
Sure, there you go.
And so, yeah, we enjoy when we go out to the game sitting and keeping score during the game.
I mean, we're nerds like that, but even that couldn't save this game. It was just very dry and just kind of lifeless to me.
Yeah, so this game's gotten a lot of really good reviews, but I don't think it gets too good of one for us. I mean, for you, Cody, what would you say? Buy, try, or deny?
It's a deny just because there are better baseball games out there for your money.
And referring to the Jones theory.
The Jones theory, which a lot of people maybe don't like. But especially with baseball games, I don't think you need that many. You maybe need a light one and a heavy one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this one just, I mean, you can do a lot better on. I think it tries to be a light game, but then it tries to be a heavy game. I think it just needs to pick a side. It's
right.
Not the game for me. It's not enough interaction, and you just don't feel like you're driving at all.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because playing Pizza Box Football, which is
I love it.
But it's a dice game, and at the end of the day, there's not that much difference. You're still rolling the dice, reading a chart, and then doing what it says. But maybe it's just the fact that you're rolling those dice and it goes so quickly that it makes makes it feel like you're actually doing something.
You still have more of a say, though, in the way you're running your offense or running your defense in Pizza Box Football versus Pizza Box Baseball, where you're like, swing or take the pitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Swing or take the pitch.
Right.
I mean, that's all it comes down to. And then you're just kind of like, okay, game, are you having fun?
Yeah. And even some of the other ones where if you put a batter in a particular place in the batting order, then that might cause a different result to come up. I guess they added that little bit of strategy to it, but I would say it just didn't resonate for me either. And I would give this one a deny as well, that if you have to choose a baseball game, I would maybe choose one of the other ones that we're going to talk about here in the episode. So,
but play Pizza Box Football.
Definitely play Pizza Box Football. Another great game from On the Line Game Company.
Avoid this one like the plague.
Okay. So that's game number two of Pizza Box Baseball.
There you go.
Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags. We have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
What silly name? I say who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
Have you got a first baseman?
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Now tell me who's on first.
That's right.
I want to know what's the guy's name on first
base. No, what's on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not mentioning third. Now, let's get together.
How did I get on?
All right, batting third on our games is a Strat-O-Matic Baseball. And this, apparently, from what John has told me, is an older game that has been kind of reprinted with newer teams and things like that through the years?
Yeah, Strat-O-Matic Baseball was originally published in 1961 by the Strat-O-Matic Company.
Oh, not just a clever name.
It's still produced by that company. And the real benchmark of this game is that it is a very faithful statistical treatment of baseball based upon the players that are playing in baseball
right
now.
This is your Pete Rose of baseball games right here.
Oh, yeah.
minus the gambling and the lying.
Minus the gambling and the lying. But this is can be a very, very detailed game. But what you're going to get in the box more than any of the other components is a brick, literally, of player cards. And they're perforated, and you actually have to kind of punch them out and everything. But there's 780 player cards. At least we got the brand new version from that has the 2008 players in it. 780 player cards of all the players that are playing in baseball last year. And so you have full teams. So if you want to play the Cincinnati Reds.
And why wouldn't you?
Then you can play that team. Or if I want to play the Texas Rangers.
Why would you?
Then I can play that team. And so it's that level of statistical background that really makes this game very interesting. And so that's, I think they've probably spent, 40 some years now working out these algorithms to figure out how plays are going to go.
This is the original Dyson chart game, I think.
Yeah. And so the way this game is going to work is the components in the game are not of the most stellar quality, but you're really paying for the research here. The amount of time that went into
function over form, definitely.
Absolutely, yeah. But you are going to get a little bit of a cardboard board. It's just a real light kind of cardstock board that sits on there that is a photograph of a baseball diamond.
Not even a good photograph.
No, it almost was like a 1980s photograph. Yeah. It probably was.
But we got Minute Maid Park in beautiful Houston, Texas.
Yeah, good stuff. And
okay.
whatever. And so you get some little plastic pawns that are going to represent your base runners, and then another one of those pawns will represent the number of outs you have in an inning. And then you're going to get some dice. You get 3 6-sided dice and 1 20-sided die, and then you get all the cards that I mentioned for your players. You're also going to get a whole bunch of charts, and which charts you use are going to be based upon what level of complexity you want to use in the game. So you can play like a basic game, an advanced game, or what they call the super advanced game. And that's just, how much into the nuances of baseball do you want to get into? So we played the basic game, and that was pretty detailed, I think.
Yeah.
But we probably are gonna break this out pretty soon and try the advanced game, which has those details to it. So the way the game works is you're gonna take your cards and figure out your starting lineup. You can cater your team however you want. You're gonna pick your starting pitcher, and the starting pitcher is going to have a hitting card associated with them. So the pitcher cards are going to have all kinds of pitching stats on them. But when your pitcher comes up to bat, as they tend to do in the National League,
as it should be,
then you have a set of 8 double-sided pitcher hitting cards, where it'll say on the top of the pitcher card what number corresponds with that hitting card.
And much like the National League, they are awful.
Oh, they're all terrible. Yeah, there's no Fernando Valenzuela in the
well, look at you, Fernando Valenzuela,
going back a bit. So you're going to get your stack of cards together that is going to have your batting order. And the basic mechanic of the game is that when you come up to bat, the batter is going to roll the dice. And he's going to roll the 3 6-sided dice. There's 1 white D6, and then there's 2 red ones. And the white one is going to correspond with a column that's on either the pitcher's card or the batter's card. So there's 3 columns on the pitcher's card, 3 on the batter's card. The batters are the 1, 2, 3, and the pitcher, 4, 5, 6. And then you're going to add the numbers of the red dice together. So you'll get a number between 2 and 12. And then you're just basically going to read the result, and that'll determine the outcome of that at bat. So you might have a 2, which would be the second column of the batter's card, and a 7. And maybe your outcome is a walk. And so then you would put your guy on first base, and then you would move to the next card in your batting order, and you would continue on. The pitcher's card is going to actually sit on the board in a little box that's on the pitcher's, because that one will be used, for every batter until you decide to change out pitchers. Now, some of the things that can happen in addition to just singles and doubles is the markings on the card will indicate things like how many extra bases your base runners might be able to run in the event of a single or something like that. You might get something that says ground ball or fly ball, and in which case there's a couple of different options for that. It could say either ground ball A, B, or C, in which case you're going to go to the fielding chart. And there'll be a chart that just sits on the table, and it'll tell you the outcome of what ground ball A, B, or C means. Same thing for fly ball. But you might also see something that will say, like, ground ball, shortstop, X.
Ooh, mysterious.
And that's kind of an X factor play. So in that case, you're going to try to figure out the outcome of the play based upon the quality of the fielder. So if, for example, it was ground ball, shortstop, X, the batter would then ask the opposing player, you know, what's the number of your shortstop? So he'll flip through his cards and find the shortstop, and that shortstop will have a particular rating between 1 and 5. 1 being a really, really good golden glove shortstop, and then 5 being...
Edwin Encarnacion. Yeah.
Not so great.
He's actually a 4.
Oh, is he?
That's overrated.
Okay. And I have no idea who that is.
He's the third baseman for your Cincinnati Reds.
Okay, sounds great.
An error machine.
Okay. And so then you're going to roll a 20-sided die, and there'll be this chart on the strategy fielding chart for the shortstop, and you roll that 20-sided die and look down that column for your shortstop's ability, and then read the result. And so it might be an out, might be an error, and it'll tell you what to do as far as your base runners go. So that's your the basic fielding. And so there's columns like that for the catcher, the pitcher, all of the different players. So that's the basic part of the game. You're just going to continue to roll those dice and read those results. And it really does have a great feel of baseball in that, in someone who's a really big power hitter, you can look on their card and see a bunch of home runs, you know. Mm-hmm. And as you're rolling the dice, you can sort of, you know, say, boy, I really need to get a 3-9. Mm-hmm. So that this guy will get a home run. And so that's a lot of fun to be able to sort of see that. So there are other rules, the more kind of advanced rules that you can use, including things like stealing. If you have a batter who wants to steal a base, they're going to have a stealing rating, and it'll be like double A, B, C, D, or E, E being the worst. And on the chart for the stealing, if you decide to try to steal, then you'll have to roll a D20, and you have to get a certain number in order for the steal to be successful. And at the same time, the person who's pitching and doing the defense can choose to hold the runner, which will alter the number that they need to get in order to steal and make it more difficult because the infield's playing in. So those are just some of the things that you can do, but really it gets a lot more complicated.
There's weather conditions. There's a pitcher fatigue if you're playing multiple games in a series.
Yep,
it gets detailed.
Injuries, and if you use the advanced side of the hitting cards, there'll be completely different results based upon whether you're against a left-handed or a right-handed pitcher. So they really go into a lot of granularity.
This is the simulation game.
It really, really is, yeah. And so if you love baseball and you love that level of detail and all those statistics, this is definitely the game for you. And I hear that there are even like Stratomatic baseball leagues where they'll play entire seasons, and you know, you'll have people who represent certain teams, and they'll play whole series and get together. And you know, like we said, the card that's in there that has the diamond on it is not a real good one, but I've seen people who have these three-dimensional stadiums.
Oh, wow.
For Yankee Stadium or whatever stadium.
You need to get in on this.
And yeah, and then they'll actually move their pawns around inside of those big stadiums. So it's almost kind of a little subculture of gaming and baseball. So, Cody, what did you think of Stratomatic Baseball?
It walks a very fine line between just kind of a light game and a simulation. Even the basic game, as John mentioned, it's pretty meaty for what one would consider a basic game. Where this game really shines is if you're a baseball fan who knows your team really well or knows a team very well, you can really work that to your advantage. Like I know the Reds pretty well, and I built my lineup kind of similar to how they have it, for good or for ill. And I found out it actually plays out a lot like a normal game would. I mean, you know, you have certain players are driving in runs, certain players are striking out. You know, it just seems to kind of work like that. And it also works if you just know kind of deep baseball strategy. If you know when to do, if you're playing a National League style game, do a double switch or things like that, you know, mm-hmm. putting in pinch runners, pinch hitters. I mean, it really works. And the game, I think it really shines the more you know about baseball and the deeper you get into it. I think this game really works.
Yeah, and that's something I forgot to mention is that things like pinch hitters and relief pitchers and stuff like that, the rules that govern those are just the rules of normal baseball. Mm-hmm. So if you want to bring in a pinch hitter, you can, and you know you have to make sure that they get in the lineup at the right place. Or if you want to do a double switch to take out a pitcher, you know, all those things are just governed by the rules of baseball. You just have to make sure that you're following that. So if you know baseball, then this game is going to be an absolute breeze to learn how to play. And I think you'll probably get a lot of enjoyment out of it. Stratomatic Baseball, buy a try tonight, Cody.
For me, it's going to be a try, only because if you're just like looking for a casual kind of a baseball game, this may not be for you. Like I said, it gets very in-depth, and if you are a hardcore baseball fan or just looking for a very good baseball simulation, this is an absolute buy. But I think for the general gamer, for the common gamer, as it were, I'll give it a try. It's one you need to sit down, play through it a time or two, see if it's something you really want to kind of invest in and invest the time in playing. That being said, I really liked it. I think that it's something that I would buy and kind of update every year. And then you could even get historical matchups. You could say, well, you know, the 1990 Reds versus the 1997 Texas Rangers, or you know.
Yeah, I even think they made like an All-Star edition for mm-hmm. a few years back, where it was, you know, the like an All-Star team.
Yeah. So it's a try for me. John, what do you think? Buy a try or deny?
I'm going to give it a try, too. It is a really, really good game, and one of the best simulation games that I've ever played. I guess I haven't played too many of those, but but it's definitely one of the best.
Descent is a dungeon-crawling simulation,
yeah, more or less.
Steel horns will die if you do this to him.
But I think that what Cody says is true, is that if you're not a baseball fan, or especially if you don't like baseball, then this game is not going to be for you at all. Also, if you're looking for something that has deep strategy where maybe if you're a Euro gamer and you want something that is where your decisions really help to determine the outcome, you know, this is not really going to be the game for you either, because it's dice, it's luck driven. The only thing I would say about it being luck driven is that it's based upon the statistics of players that are in real baseball. So, you know, if you try to steal with a player that in real baseball is a big lumbering oaf who is not fast, that person in the game is probably not going to have
Bartolo Colon.
He's not going to have a real good.
Not going to steal very often.
Yeah, so they're going to have a low rating, and the chances of them being able to steal are going to be a lot lower. So if you're not into that kind of a simulation game, wouldn't be for you. But definitely give it a try if you're a baseball fan. So that's the third game in our extravaganza here.
Time to go up to the cleanup hitter.
That's right, the cleanup hitter. So that's Stratomatic Baseball.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I don't care if we never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. So it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the oval game.
Well, the fourth game, the final game in our baseball episode here, the cleanup hitter, as Cody said, is a game that is actually no longer in print.
Oh, fantastic.
But it's one that you can get on eBay.
Very
on,
easily.
On other,
and cheaply.
Pretty cheaply. And that is MLB Sports Clicks.
Where you will fight such heroes as Captain America. And
that would be neat if it was kind of combined in with the hero.
Adam Dunn gets killed by the Incredible Hulk, and no one's really upset.
But yeah, this was produced by WizKids Games. As part of their Clicks lines, if you're familiar with games like Mage Knight and Hero Clicks and Horror Clicks. And
Clicks, 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 Ticket to Ride Clicks.
Agricola Clicks.
Agricola Clicks.
So this game was released in 2004, and then they had another version that came out in 2005, and then the game kind of died out. But the concept behind it is very interesting. It's taking the Clicks idea, which, if you're not familiar with that, it's these miniatures, these plastic
pre-painted
miniatures. Oh, we said it together. Pre-painted miniatures that have a kind of a rotating base on the bottom. And then at the top of the base, you're going to see like a window that shows particular statistics. And it comes with this little, like, you know, cereal box decoder ring thing that you stick on the bottom, and that allows you to turn and click the rotating dial so that you can see different stats in the window. So different things will happen during the game that will cause your character to get more powerful or less powerful. So in things like hero clicks, where you're playing comic book superheroes, that'll happen as you're battling out these the different superheroes. But in baseball, it's going to be a little bit different. It's sort of the clicking is going to be based upon how well your batter or your pitcher are doing. And if they're having a hot night where they're getting a lot of hits, then they're going to see that their clicking will, you know, give them momentum.
Their clicking will give them momentum.
That'll allow them to...
Albert Pujols is really clicking.
Exactly. So we got a copy of the 2004 starter sets. And there's an American League starter and a National League starter. They each come with 9 miniatures. You're also going to get a fold-out kind of laminated cardstock board.
Playing mat,
yeah. That represents a baseball diamond. And you're going to get some dice. You're going to get some dice, Cody.
Go on. I'm not just a dice guy. Okay, I am.
Yeah, you're totally lying.
Yay, dice. There.
Okay. And you're also going to get some little plastic sleeves, I guess, little things that go on the outside of your MLB Sports Clicks guys. Your
clicks,
players.
Clicks.
That will represent what place they are in the batting order. You're also going to get some little tokens to keep track of what your score is and how many outs you have and that kind of stuff. So the basic mechanic in this game, and again, this game is kind of like Strat-O-Matic Baseball in that, and Pizza Box Baseball, in that you have levels of complexity. You have kind of a basic game. They call their basic game the preseason, and then you have the regular season, and then the playoffs.
Nah, I see what they did there.
Yep. And so we played a game of the preseason, and then also tried out the regular season rules as well. So you can make it as complicated as you want. But it's going to be the basic mechanic is that you have your fielders on the field, and they're going to be in certain locations, little zones that are on the field, and then you'll have your batter come to bat, and the batter is going to roll a die, and the batter has a choice of one of two dies. There's
Are you talking batter or fielder?
Oh, the pitcher is going to have a control die or a velocity die. Right. They can choose which one, and then the batter is going to have a power.
And a contact.
Or a contact die. And so you can decide whether you want to try to hit power or just make contact or whatever. So you'll roll one die, and the pitcher will roll one die. And in addition, the batter is going to roll a green six-sided die, just a normal six-sided die, called a utility die. You're going to roll them, and these are special dice, the control and contact and that kind of stuff. They're going to have these symbols, like there's a target symbol and a baseball symbol and a bat and one that looks kind of like a little... comic book zot or zap, like I call it a pow. And you'll roll those two dice, and then you're going to read the result. So maybe you have a bat and a ball or something like that, and then you're going to look on the base of the pitcher's miniature and the base of the batter's miniature, and you're going to look for that combination of symbols, and then right next to that combination of symbols in the little clicks window, mm-hmm. is going to tell you what the outcome of the play is. So it might be any number of baseball plays, fly ball, you know, single, double, triple, that kind of stuff. If you have something like a fly ball or a ground ball, that's when your utility die is going to come into play. Because on the base of the batter's miniature, you're going to have what's called a spray chart, where it's going to show what... where on the field he might actually hit that ball. And so then there'll be numbers associated with different segments of the spray chart. So if you rolled a 3 on your utility die, then that'll correspond to a particular wedge or section of the field. And then the fielder, the person who's playing defense, is going to have to decide, you know, whether they want to try to field that ball and catch it. And they can move their players around a little bit. And then you'll roll some dice to determine whether they catch the ball or not. And that's going to be a roll of 2 six-sided dice, and then you're going to add a defense stat. So now we're starting to get into kind of some you know, almost like miniatures gameplay where you have all these stats that you're adding.
Their special attack.
Yeah.
Thrown bed at the pitcher.
So if you have a batter who has done real good and gotten a hit, then you're going to take and click that player up one level.
Oh, yeah.
So that the next time they come up, they'll have even better stats and, you know, they'll be gaining that momentum. If a pitcher gets through an entire inning, three up and three down, with no walks or anything, so they get three outs in a row, then they're going to get clicked up one level because they're doing real well in the game too. So those are kind of the basics of the game, and you'll just kind of play through the game. It's kind of a nice visual game because you actually get to see the players,
cool.
And you know, the detail in the miniatures is pretty good for what you get. But Cody, what did you think of MLB Sports Clicks?
It was like you said, it was neat having all the miniatures out there, but I think they built the game around that concept too much because, mm-hmm. And I think this is maybe a downfall of just the clicks line in general, is that you always are having to pick up the miniature and manipulate it and look at these kind of hard to read numbers. And I've got pretty good eyesight, and it was hard to read numbers at times. And it seemed like it was tacked on a little bit just to, how can we use these miniatures and sell some of these, you know, at the time. It's like, I think maybe that's why it kind of died out. It just, it didn't seem natural. It seemed very clunky. And while the miniatures were cool, the game itself didn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah, the word you used was fiddly, and I think
that's
very true. That you're constantly,
if you have to have a decoder ring to play a board game,
it's a little much.
You need to reevaluate things, yeah. You know.
And you know, you had to line up your miniature, your batter miniature, in that little spray chart thing to make sure it was going in the right spot. Cody kept messing that up. But also, yeah, it's really hard to read those clicks. And I've never really played a whole lot of Hero Clicks or anything like that. So, you know, I guess if you're used to that kind of gameplay, it's not going to be a big deal. But as far as a baseball simulation, it's got some similarities to the other games that we've talked about as far as determining outcomes. But it was more similar, I think, to Pizza Box Baseball than it was to Strat-O-Matic Baseball.
Right.
In that you just rolled the dice and your red was on the chart, and you really didn't feel like you had any control or any say in what happens. And right.
But I think the selling point they tried to hit was, hey, but there's miniatures. Okay.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And so some of them were weird, like Kerry Wood looked like a monster.
We may have just gotten a bad mold or something.
I think so. He had like these eyes going two different ways and this big jaw, and he was
kind of frightening. Now, what I hear is that we play the 2004 rules. I heard that the 2005 version actually had an updated rule set that was supposed to be a lot more streamlined. And so I didn't really look into that too carefully, but you know, this game is out of print, but we wanted to go ahead and just get that in there to give you a flavor for another kind of game.
It's unique enough to definitely give it its own time.
And this was a collectible game, so it was you know, a blind draw for your boosters. The starter packs, you know, came in a open cellophane so that you could see what you were getting. But one nice thing is that on eBay and you can find, you know, big cases of these things for pretty cheap. So mm-hmm. If this was something that you were interested in playing, you know, you can go and give it a try, and you should be able to get a pretty good collection for a cheap amount. But as far as gameplay goes, if you're looking for a great baseball game, this may not be the one.
No.
Go to, you know, MLB Sports Clicks, buy, try, or deny.
I'm going to give it a deny. It may be a fun thing to just try out just for the novelty of it, but I think as a long-lasting baseball game, you can do a lot better.
Yeah.
So we go to you.
Yeah, I would probably give this one, and yeah, I probably would put it in the try category, but I think it's just because I like little miniatures a lot. So, you know, it's fun enough just for my kids to be able to pull out and play with them. And
sure.
And I almost feel like this might be, of all these games, the best one to try to teach my son the rules of baseball.
Oh yeah.
Just because it's really visual, and so you have those miniatures there and he can see the players and see where they would be on the field. That's something a little easier for him to visualize. So I might use it as like a training or teaching tool to teach my young son the game of baseball. But yeah, so I'll give it a try for that, but you know, it's not the best as far as a baseball game.
Yeah. Well, there were four games of baseball, all pretty different.
Yeah, but all kind of paying homage to the same great sport. And so I hope you enjoyed this look at these kind of games. Now, if you're totally not a baseball fan and you're still listening at this point,
thank you.
We appreciate that.
We'll be back with our more normal format next episode.
That's right. But we wanted to make sure that we took a look at some of these baseball games since it is that season right now.
Absolutely. And as we head out, let's go over some things that we think you should remember.
That's right. Well, first, we want to always ask you to go and check out our website at gameonpodcast.com, where you can check out this episode and all of our previous episodes. We've got some big changes coming up in the near to mid future as far as our website goes. So
the Game On marketing department is in full force.
That's right. And so you might want to just check back on the website periodically, and you might find some new content and some new stuff there. We're kind of gearing up to make a change over in our website. So stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. And if you want to send us any news, reviews, or just any brilliant ideas you might have, send it to the Game On Inbox.
At gameoninbox@gmail.com.
And you just might make the show, and we love hearing from you guys, as we are the uncommon podcast for you, the common gamer. So shoot us a line.
That's right. We want to remind you also of our contest that's going to be going on. And this is to win a copy of Harry's Grand Slam Baseball.
You want this game.
You do. It's a really fun game. And there's two ways to enter the contest. You can either go to iTunes and write a customer or a listener review on iTunes. We would appreciate that. And that will enter you in the contest. If you do that, we would also ask you to please email the Game On Inbox. Let us know that you did that, and let us know what your username that you use, your screen name for that review. Or the other way that you can enter is by answering our trivia question. So you can rewind to that part of the episode and listen to the trivia question, and send us in the Game On Inbox the answer to that, and that would enter you in the contest as well. So check it out. We got great copies of Harry's Grand Slam Baseball up for grabs.
Absolutely. And of course, check out our new friends over at pulpgamer.com. if you would like to listen to other great shows like this one, then we can vouch for pretty much every show there. It's great stuff.
So join us in 2 weeks for another great episode of Game On with Cody and John. And I think it's about time for us to go and watch your Reds finish. What are they winning?
No, they're losing horribly.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go watch it. Let's go finish watching them lose.
All right, until then.
Game on.
If you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself?
What?
I know I would. First, I'd smother myself with brown mustard and relish. I'd be so delicious. So would you?
I don't know.
Don't jerk me around, Norm. It's a simple question. A baby could answer it. If you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself?
I guess so.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.